Support for this podcast comes from Total Jobs. Are open vacancies holding your business back? Your business is losing money every day that a vacancy is unfilled. But you don't need me to tell you that. What the team at Total Jobs do want me to tell you is that the days of posting and hoping are over. Let go of what's holding your business back with technology that's bringing businesses and people together better than ever before. Get in touch to find out how Total Jobs can improve your hiring. Visit totaljobs.com online today.
There's been more of scientific discovery, more of technical advancement and material progress in your lifetime and mine than in all the ages of history.
Hi there, this is Matt Alder. Welcome to episode 464 of the Recruiting Future podcast. As talent acquisition rapidly adapts to disruptive times, innovative ways of working and new technologies are being adopted at an unprecedented pace. So, where are the most successful TA teams focusing, and what are the mindset shifts we're now seeing in the industry? My guest this week is Will Stanny, founder of Proactive Talent and co-founder of industry community, the Talent Brand Alliance. Will has a long history of innovation in talent acquisition and shares his insight into the short-term and long-term strategies the most successful TA teams are currently building. Hi, Will, and welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Matt. Thanks for having me.
An absolute pleasure to have you on the show. Could you just introduce yourself and tell everyone what you do?
Sure, yeah. I'm Will Stanny. I'm a former recruiting and employer brand leader turned consultant. And my professional mission over the last 15 years has really been to help innovate and modernize the field of talent acquisition. So as a practitioner, I did this in my work, you know, kind of challenging companies I worked at to experiment and try new things. And then I would share those successes or failures through speaking at a wide variety of HR conferences. I think the last time I was on your show was back then, but you know, now I kind of do this in two ways. I'm the founder of Proactive Talent, which is a holistic talent acquisition consulting firm that, you know, in kind of an agile RPO that is helping to extend the capabilities of in-house recruiting teams and build modern recruiting engines and best practices. And we do that from, you know, talent attraction, like employer brand strategy, you know, media, content to hiring, where we do recruiting strategy and optimization and technology implementation, and then on-demand recruiting, which is sort of our flexible modern take on RPO. The other way, and the other thing that I do is I also co-founded Talent Brand Alliance, which is a, you know, professional community of talent brand practitioners. So people doing employer brand or recruitment marketing, TA leaders and internal comms folks to help them learn, collaborate and network within, you know, really this growing and evolving field. We've got an online community with, you know, mentorship programs and regular monthly calls and trainings, as well as our summit events, which are kind of experiential workshops, a new take on conferences where you learn from 100 different people instead of just a dozen speakers from some large companies with bigger budgets than you, right? And so, you know, we have our next one actually coming up here in Chicago, October 19th through 21st at the Chicago Athletics Center. Yeah. That's me and what I've been up to.
Fantastic. So much stuff there. And obviously, you're a keen observer of everything that's going on in talent acquisition. And you're obviously touching a lot of employers through the work that you do and the community that you've built. So I'm really interested, obviously, very disruptive, confusing, changeable times. What are you seeing in the market at the moment? What's your perspective on where we are and what's going on?
You know, Matt, I'd sum it up in one word right now, which is uncertainty. I think, you know, no one knows what's going to happen next, which makes it hard to plan and budget for a lot of these companies. I mean, we have war, pandemic, broken supply chains, you know, global recessions, political and social unrest, inflation, right? It's a hard time right now, right? But you know, so you're seeing companies kind of freeze up literally, you know, if they're freezing hiring, some are slashing budgets, you know, they're kind of holding their breath before making future growth investments. And in some of the sectors that were really booming during sort of the resurgence after the recession, right? And so, but there's other areas you know, where there's a lot of funding going in into clean energy and supply chain and infrastructure that we're seeing stay pretty steady. But that a lot of them are, those industries are, I would say, not as evolved and modern in their ways of hiring. And so they're hitting a lot of friction in that too. You know, just tech, for example, has been on a decade plus run of growth, right? And, you know, kind of inflated valuations, and they're now starting to hit a reality check, right? These companies, what they need to do now is to stay lean. And while we're seeing some layoffs in the sector, I think it was about 44,000 layoffs in big tech companies here in the US and over 77,000 additionally globally, right? At the same time, you know, they're still struggling with a talent shortage, especially in the areas of engineering, right? And so they need to stay lean and nimble while adopting some best practices. Cause the saddest part of this is seeing, you know, a lot of these companies laying off, you know, recruiters and talent folks first, right? And we know that's a part of our industry. We know that how that goes, but it's still painful to see, especially after, gosh, just at the beginning of this year and last year, you couldn't hire a recruiter if you tried. They were in such high demand, right? And so what we're dealing with in this market right now, it's just all the extremes. It's like up and down and up and down. I can tell you, as a small business owner in this industry, it has been anxiety driving. But you know, this is what we sign up for. This is the things that we're helping, you know, clients navigate.
You know, obviously, I agree with everything you say there, because I'm saying exactly the same thing. And I think the tech talent thing is interesting, because I had a guest on a few weeks ago who we were talking about the tech layoffs, and you know, very very astutely, they pointed out this doesn't mean that there is a sudden new pool of tech talent. Market. You know, it's still just as difficult to recruit data scientists and software engineers as it ever was.
Well, yeah, because the unemployment in that sector is still less than 1%, you know, because these people are getting laid off and they're very easily finding another role. And it may not even be in big tech, because every company is a technology company now in the year 2022. So
exactly.
Everyone's looking for great developers across the board.
It's obviously very difficult for heads of TA and TA teams at the moment, in terms of, you know, they're being pushed and pulled in many, many different directions, and there's lots of things going on. What do you feel that they should be focusing on, or what are you seeing the sort of the most successful TA teams focusing on right now?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think most immediately, showing value beyond just getting butts in seats. You know, what I'm seeing some of the best TA teams do right now is really focusing on retention, culture, brand, if hiring is slow. But I think I would, as far as all TA teams, I think that you can kind of separate this into short-term and long-term, but the long-term doesn't mean wait. You need to do both of these things right now. Some of the best organizations, and a lot of the organizations that I've been working with, and we touch over 200 companies a year, right? In the short term, it's three things: optimization, automation, and augmentation, right? And so they are optimizing their process, they're optimizing their tech stacks and updating their technology, removing a lot of the administrative burden of their recruiters so they can stay leaner and be even more productive and focus on candidate experience, right? But also automation, meaning there's a lot of good technology that is coming to bear that automates a lot of things that used to be really administrative, right? So not just optimizing those processes, but then automating that well with both humans and technology, and then augmentation. So because what I'm seeing in the market a lot, that, you know, companies are going from a big hiring push to all of a sudden freezing hiring, and then they'll open hiring a little bit more, and then they'll freeze based on kind of what the market's doing, interest rates and stuff like that. And so what you need to be able to do is to augment yourself, right? And I think using, you know, like a model that we do at Product Talent, the way that we're doing this is we have sort of a, you know, an agile RPO where we'll extend their team of recruiters and help them fill positions with experienced recruiters that they can turn on and off based on the hiring demand. Or let's say they need a tech recruiter, and then they that all of a sudden the tech hiring is done and they need to now focus on sales, we can swap that out for a sales recruiter really quickly. I wish I had something like that when I was a TA leader, like at Twilio, where I get a hiring plan at the beginning of the year, and before the first quarter is even over, it's changed, either increased or decreased. And I either have too much full-time recruiters or not enough. And what that avoids too is having to do the culture damage of hiring recruiters and then firing them. There's a startup here in Austin. I have a friend that works there, and they hired a recruiter at $150,000 a year, right? Right. And that pandemic was their hiring. And then immediately, you know, within 3 months of that recruiter being there, having to let them go. Right. And so if you just use some of that gig economy, which I know we'll talk about a little later, that's great. So short-term optimization, automation, augmentation is what a lot of them are doing. And then long-term, really having a focus on candidate experience, employer brand. And I say that's long-term because it takes a while to really do that well. You have to figure out who you are, start building, you know, awareness of your employer brand and building the kind of content that showcases what it's like to work there. We're still very much in a candidate-driven market, right? And so, but you have to start now. Right? You have to start now, especially while maybe hiring is a little bit slower, right? This is a good time to start building the engine that you need for when things come back. Because inevitably, whether looming recession or not, inevitably things do come back.
No, absolutely. And, you know, just constant change, constant disruption. And, you talk about augmenting there, which is kind of really interesting in terms of how people can cope with that. I suppose traditionally, our industry hasn't been very quick at changing and hasn't been typically a kind of a very agile in its setup. I mean, you run a small business that's successful and kind of expanding quickly, and small businesses always have to move fast and be agile. What would your advice be to people running teams in terms of how they can, you know, kind of adjust that culture to keep up with the phenomenal pace of change that we're seeing at the moment?
Absolutely. I think it's a lot of things that I did when I was in bigger companies before moving as a consultant, right? Which was, you know, they had a lot of different point solutions, multiple vendors for various aspects of the candidate lifecycle. I think we got to move away from that to more holistic partners and integrated systems, right? Integrated tech stacks give a better, more actionable data so you can move quicker. I remember when I was at VMware and SAP, great organizations, very large, very cumbersome to change the process. But, you know, I was able to work to really optimize the process globally, right? And get away from sort of the bumper sticker approach of recruiting stack and start, you know, integrating the technologies together so we can be more nimble to navigate the changing pace of hiring, right? And so, you know, typical models of support when you have a lean recruiting team, like your typical RPOs or contingent hiring, that's why I started Proactive Talent, is because I was a TA leader and I needed to adjust and change and disrupt, you know, really fast. The typical models of support, what I found them to do is they kind of damaged the bottom line, because if you needed to, you know, hire people quick using contingent search firm, yeah, you don't pay up front, but boy, do you really want to pay five times for every hire? Like, the goal is to hire people, right? And so, you know, but they also hurt your recruiting process, because they're bifurcating the process. You know, it hurts candidate experience and the employer brand. So it all makes it really hard to be nimble as well when you're locked into some long-term contracts with an RPO or needing like complicated integrations to have all your tech stacks talk to each other, you know. And we are living in the era of cloud and API based, you know, ATSs and CRMs, right? You can that play a little bit more nicer. And so, you know, some of these ATSs that are becoming really popular, like, you know, Greenhouse and iSIMS and stuff like that, they play nice. They've either bought the additional accompanying tech that you need to be able to disrupt and be agile and move fast, or they play nice with others, right? And so, you know, from a tech standpoint, there are some real solutions here that can save money and time and allow you to be a lot more agile, because you've got real-time data. We're finally in the era where you can actually measure the effects of everything that you do from a recruiting standpoint pretty accurately, whether you're a small business or a large business. And then as far as like your resourcing, right? I mean, it's just being proven that agile RPO is the way to go. Hiring can have a lot of stop and go, like I was saying, right? But you need to be able to add firepower when you need it and then turn the hiring spigot off quickly, you know, as your business demands change, right? And so, you know, insert the gig economy, and the gig economy has increased 30% during the pandemic, by the way, Matt, right? So like more workers want the gig lifestyle. Even recruiters want that gig lifestyle, and they like not being tied down to just one company for a large part of their career.
A quick message from our sponsor, Wonolo. Hi, everyone. I want to tell you about Wonolo. That's W-O-N-O-L-O. Wonolo stands for Work Now Locally. Wonolo enables businesses to find quality workers for on-demand, seasonal, short-term, and long-term work. Ditch the bulky paperwork and interview process, and use Wonolo to find quality workers fast and get work done even faster. With flexible workers and no platform fees, you can save on operating costs, meet demand, and maximize earnings with ease. Wonolo is available in over 100 markets, including Chicago, Dallas, Atlanta, New York, and Seattle. Get workers who are ready to work and spend less time finding them with Wonolo. Go to www.wonolo.com/pod. That's www.wonolo.com/pod and take the stress out of finding workers. Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, there's a lot that you were talking about there. I suppose to pick up on the gig economy aspect of that. Obviously, agree with you. I'd see this as something that's only going to grow and grow and grow as we move forward. What implications does that have for employee experience and employer brand?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it expands it. It expands the kind of experiences that employees can have and the way that you can talk about the experience of working with or even partnering with your company, right? And so I think we need to move away from the idea that we always need a full-time resource or employee to solve a problem or add capabilities. Sometimes you only need a few months of an expert, right? They can come in, help build the machine. And I think that's what I realized. I realized I was a TA leader in these high growth tech companies, and I would, I'd come in, I like building the machine. And then once it was in maintenance mode, I also got bored. I was just that type. And then there are types that are good to be those folks that you just always need that are there to maintain that machine, right? But sometimes you just need experts to come in, build the machine flexibly, and then you just need to have the staff you need to maintain it, right? And so I think more workers want flexibility, and this model of support, you know, helps with that. You know, companies, you know, from an employer brand standpoint can really highlight the flexibility, autonomy, and in many cases, the work from home aspects of gig economy and project-based work and that lifestyle, right? And so these employees are, you know, subcontracting partners. So, and honestly, I think both, you know, in Europe and the US, we've got some labor laws that make this more difficult, right? That need to be updated. And I think eventually they will, but there is some ways to be able to do that, make them feel a part of a team, but not cross the line of treating them as employees, right? And I think you see this in the Upworks and the, you know, the DoorDashes and food delivery and logistics companies seem to be figuring this out, and a lot more people are doing that type of work. But I think it applies to our industry as well.
In terms of sort of moving back to technology, you spoke there about how tech stacks can be much more agile than they were in the past. I mean, we can all remember the bad old days of taking 2 years to implement an ATS, and actually for many organizations that's still the reality that they live in. You also mentioned, you know, automation and some of the really interesting sort of technologies that are coming onto the market now. What's really catching your eye at the moment? What do you think the tech is that's out there that's going to be the sort of the game changer over the next couple of years?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question. I'll give you my favorite analogy for this when I'm kind of talking to a client about their their strategy and their tech stack. And it's, you know, your strategy is the road that takes you to your destination, right? And the technology is the car that you're driving, right? A great strategy, even in a beat up old Ford, will still get you to your destination. It might be slow, but you'll get there because you have a nice smooth road. You know exactly where you're going and what turns you need to take to get there, right? But a supercar won't go too far down a road, down a rough and bumpy road, right? It'll actually break down, right? If that was meant for a Jeep and you're driving a supercar, right? So you need to have both a solid strategy and a good tech stack aligned to that strategy. I think something that I experienced as a TA leader was this push towards our organization, towards innovation, which is great, but to just try to adopt all the best tools. But it, we started getting that bumper sticker thing I talked about, right? Where it was too much tech. It wasn't all talking to each other. And we didn't take the time to really think about what's our strategy? What's the candidate experience we want to have? What's the process we want to have? And then take that strategy. And this is what I do. I help a lot of our clients with their RFPs, both designing them and then, you know, analyzing the different vendors to find the right thing. But the first thing I work with them is to get a deep understanding of that strategy, right? But the technology that is really appealing to me right now is it's really those cloud-based API-enabled ATSs. I mean, Greenhouse, we do close to 200 Greenhouse implementations a year. For a small business, that is an 8-week process. For a really large business, that is a 16-week process at most, right? So it's changing. It's not 2 years anymore for these types of cloud-based. And then I think iCIMS too. I think having a good ATS like that, that is at core of your tech stack, opens up a whole world of possibilities because they play friendly with the emerging tools that you need to add on for, you know, what we talked about earlier, the automation, the AI, but as well as marketing and reference checks, et cetera, right? I'm also really loving what Paradox Olivia is doing. I think for high volume recruiting, they have completely automated the process, but in a human way with technology, right? The fact that it used to take, you know, fast food companies days or weeks to hire someone. Now it can take as little as an hour or two, right? You scan a QR code in the drive-thru. You can go through the whole process with Olivia and do it. Just what they're doing with virtual hiring events and other stuff. I'm really big fan of them. I'm actually going to HR Tech next week to just play with all new tech, meet with some partners and just see what's new and out there. But it's an exciting time. I feel like we're finally in the time for recruiting tech that I've been hoping for about a decade now. You know, I came from more of a digital marketing background and then applied that into recruiting early in my career. And so it feels like we're starting to finally catch up. I think lastly, the one I'm really loving right now too is Eightfold. We worked with Postmates, you know, during the pandemic and into 2021. And part of that was helping them leverage Eightfold to essentially build their own LinkedIn and use AI to better candidate match, but not just candidates coming in, but against your entire employee base, integrating into your HRS so that you're first looking and analyzing the people that you already have for new positions before going externally. They also really help with some great AI around DE&I. And through that year of working with them, building their employer brand, optimizing their Eightfold and Greenhouse integrations and systems. I mean, we were able to increase female applicants into that company by 90%. We increased their diversity initiatives by over 50%, right? And so it really is possible now. The things that we've been talking about we're going to do for the last 10 years in this industry, we're actually able to do them.
We totally are, and they're all great vendors doing some amazing things. Final question for you, and obviously the most difficult question. We've just spent 20 minutes talking about how unpredictable everything is, but I'm interested to get your thoughts on what you think the future might look like for TA. So if we're having this conversation in sort of 18 months, 2 years time, you know, what do you think we'd be talking about? Or alternatively, what do you hope we'd be talking about?
Yeah, I'll cover both because I really do think that we could split this up into where TA is going next and where TA needs to go next, I think, right? And so as we just talked about, as technology is developing and gets adopted, right? Because you think about the fact that I think less than 10% of organizations have even adopted things like programmatic job advertising, right? Like that's autopilot for job posting and budget optimization. I mean, there's just so many efficiencies there that you can do, and less than 10% of organizations are even doing that part, right? And so I think overall though, as this stuff gets adopted, I think TA will become a lot less transactional and more human-centric as we go. I remember doing a keynote at SourceCon a few years back and saying, hey, AI is not coming to take recruiting jobs. AI is coming to liberate you to be more human and get rid of a lot of the administrative stuff. So I think we'll become less sales and transactional driven and more marketing and brand awareness. And, you know, employer branding is really having its moment, especially during the pandemic when there's so much focus on employee engagement and employer brand, right? And so I think that's the natural path, and I've seen it slowly start heading there over the last decade or so, but it's not fast enough, I'll be honest with you. But, you know, given the example with just programmatic, for example, right? However, I think TA also needs to do the work that is necessary within their businesses to not be seen as a cost center anymore. It's just not. TA is not within HR. You know, instead of seeing it as a cost center at the executive level, we CEOs need to start seeing recruiting as the main profit center of a company, where long-term thinking and investments would help companies grow more in symbiosis with their business strategy to drive better profitability. There's a real business case to having a great culture, a strong employer brand. We know that a strong employer brand, which is owned typically by the experiences they have with your recruiting department, right, make you more profitable. We know when we do the work of DE&I, and this is just business data that exists, right, that when we become more diverse within our leadership teams, you're 30% more profitable, right? And so hiring is still way too reactive, right? And that's why I started Proactive Talent, right? To help companies think more, well, proactively about hiring. It takes being able to do the work now that you know you're not going to tangibly see for 6 to 12 months, but also will get you to a point where you can get out of the reactive minutiae and start moving up the maturity model chain of your hiring and do a better job of it to allow your business to scale, not too fast, not too slow, but right when and where and how you need it to.
Will, thank you very much for talking to me.
You got it. Thanks for having me.
My thanks to Will. You can subscribe to this podcast in Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, or via your podcasting app of choice. Please also follow the show on Instagram. You can find us by searching for Recruiting Future. You can search all the past episodes at recruitingfuture.com. On that site, you can also subscribe to the mailing list to get the inside track about everything that's coming up on the show. Thanks very much for listening. I'll be back next time, and I hope you'll join me.
This is my show.
Hi, my name is Sarah, and I want to tell you about my podcast called Can I Offer You Some Feedback? I'm a business consultant and executive coach with over 20 years experience in change management, leadership development, and naturally providing feedback to high performers. My podcast is for those of you who have a complicated relationship with feedback, whether giving, receiving, avoiding, or seeking. Feedback is essential for our development. In each episode, you'll hear from real people across industries with their ideas, perspectives, and best practices on feedback. I'll also be sharing business bites with you, simple explanations of organizational tools, management techniques, and leadership philosophies that will help you and your businesses thrive. You can listen to Can I Offer You Some Feedback on your favorite podcast app, or learn more at evergreenpodcasts.com.